Hey, welcome to another Pastor Duke podcast coming to you from Rock Hill, South Carolina. If you never dreamed we'd leave New York, but such is the plan of God for our lives, we believe. We're enjoying it down here. And hey, thanks for being part of my podcast audience. We're getting about 11,000 listens per week. The war in Israel has caused a spike. People want to know from the Word of God what is going on. Today's lesson is more of a Bible class, but it gives answer to what we're seeing unfolding in our world today. I call today's title, A Peek Behind the Curtain. Both Elijah the elder and Elisha the younger are about to see something they ain't never seen before. I realize that's bad English, but you're going to see it's good theology. I'm calling it A Peek Behind the Curtain. We are in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. Elisha had just asked for a double portion of God's spirit that he had seen on his trainer, Elijah, and he wants in on it. The Bible says, and it came to pass, they went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw Elijah no more. I like to call that story rapture practice. God did it for one. He did it for Enoch. He's going to do it for the church of Jesus Christ, I think, really soon. Listen on. He just got his first peek behind the curtain. God allowed him to see into the spirit realm where the natural eye cannot normally see. This world is just as real as the realm we can see. It has likewise a place of good and evil. It is the realm Paul the Apostle wrote about in Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, which we can see, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a realm wherein we cannot see, nor do I want to. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha gets another peek behind the curtain, along with his apprentice prophet, who I think was Gehazi. The Syrian army had compassed their city with a massive military force, and Elisha's servant is freaking out in fear, and rightfully so. In verse 16, Elisha answered him and said, "Fear not, for they that be for us are more than they that be with them." Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, open my servant's eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they, the angels, came down to Elisha, he prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people with blindness." And he smote the Syrian army with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Both Elisha and his servant got a fabulous peek behind the curtain. The Syrians immediately surrendered, and the Jews accepted the terms, and God again had supernaturally saved his people. Let that sink in. God has a purpose for everything. He's on the throne. We're not threatened by human forces near so much as sometimes we probably feel that we are. It's good news. It's a great story, and it's not just a story. It really happened. There was a protective force unseen to most, but every bit as real as the realm of everyday the every eye can see. But God, on various occasions, allowed some of his servants that sacred look behind the curtain. Again, in 2 Kings 19:35, the prophet Isaiah is promising good king of Judah, Hezekiah, that God would deliver Jerusalem from a huge Assyrian invasion force now surrounding the city. There was no visible hope. All seemed lost. It was a humanly hopeless situation, but another peek behind the curtain was about to unfold. Scripture says, and it came to pass That night, the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000 Assyrian corpses lay dead in the morning. There were times where God chooses to manifest visibly when his holy angels step up on the human stage of visibility. The Assyrians learned that lesson the hard way. Here's another sacred peek behind the curtain, Ezekiel chapter 1, 4 through 28, and then again in Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 1 through 22. The Jews had fallen into Babylonian captivity, and again, at the human level, all hope is lost. Then God gave our boy Ezekiel a peek behind the curtain on two occasions and sees pretty much the same thing both times. In chapter 1, verse 4, and for the next few verses, he sees something flying, and this is before Kitty Hawk and the Wright brothers. It's as a whirlwind, he wrote, like a fire enfolding itself. It was bright, had the color of amber. He's trying to describe something nor his ancient world had ever seen before with terms that seemed insufficient to really describe it. He uses the word likeness 7 times, the word appearance 5 times. Some creature was flying, it's something kind of like a man, but yet different. It sparkled, it had wings, yet it was like a wheel within a wheel, maybe like a flying saucer. It landed, it took off numerous times. It was guided by the spirit within. It was bright, went forth like lightning, like a flash of light. There were rings that were dreadful. He heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters. And the voice of the Almighty. Go to my podcast called UFOs or EFOs. That's as in Ezekiel, flying objects, to get more insights on this peek behind the curtain. Whatever he saw was here one moment and gone the next. Now I'm going to take you to a step deeper. 8 times we see in the Old Testament the word netherworld, also called the pit, a real place that we cannot see, an evil place, the realm of Satan and demons. It is always used in reference to hell, to pain, to fear. It is a realm where Satan carries out his evil agenda. In Daniel 10:13, Daniel speaks of the prince of Persia resisting him, a strong demonic spirit for 3 weeks, holding him back until the archangel Michael comes to Daniel's rescue. He also mentions in the text the prince of Persia. Well, as I've studied that out, my scholarly sources say these princes are strong demons who have satanic authority over those nations. You see how that fits with Paul's explanation of principalities and powers, Ephesians 6:12? They, my friends, are real. They are as active today as they were then. So let me fuse the Ezekiel peak with the Daniel peak into the netherworld. Behind this curtain, we have both demonic and angelic battle going on. We know that Satan is more subtle than any beast of the field. We know he is brilliant, and God called him an angel of light, a deceiver. What Ezekiel saw was extremely, might we say, high technology. It was godly technology that Ezekiel saw. He mentioned about it was all for the glory of God. Could we surmise that likewise Satan can go high-tech? Can he copycat God and have evil flying objects? I would bet a screaming yes. He surely has high technology to pull off his Antichrist, Mark of the Beast, the cashless society. No doubt artificial intelligence is involved where the image of the beast actually speaks in Revelation 13. I would call the coming New World Order Satan's technocracy. Are you connecting the dots? What up with all the UFO investigations going on in Congress, where the military files on UFOs, highly classified, now it's all been released. So many of the classified video sightings pretty much match up with what Ezekiel was talking about way back when. There is a reason for everything, and I would suspiciously ask, why now the release of all this UFO stuff? Might this be a conditioning of the populace mind to explain the sudden disappearance of millions of people? I think you connected the dots. I'm talking about the rapture of the church. They can't pretend like it didn't happen. There's going to have to be some kind of explanation for it. Those dots would very easily connect. Aliens have come and captured the most evil among us. You know, Hillary called the deplorables the unredeemables at the time which scripture says evil will be called good and good will be called evil. I just bet you there's some connection there. I'm a bit suspicious. I want to bring in another most interesting realm of these peaks behind the curtain. In my ministry preparation study, we did much research on the occult from a biblical perspective, never on their perspective. I've spoken to many missionaries who have gone literally toe-to-toe with demonic occult forces, witch doctors, and you name it, they've seen it. My wife, being an artist, has had me going through many of the world's great art museums, where you see the huge occultic influence in art throughout the ages. So much of it is dark, it's dragon-centric, demonic beings, lots of fire and suffering. These beings look oftentimes like what we might say E.T. of our recent Hollywood era. There clearly is a historic continuity of demonic manifestations throughout all history. This is huge. Mind you, these occult polytheistic worshipers at Stonehenge, the pharaohs of Egypt, the Mayan, Aztec, Inca dynasties of the Western continents, the Aboriginal people of Australia, the tribal people across Africa, they weren't hooked up online on social media, tweeting back and forth. They had absolutely no points of human contact. They all worshipped the same way. Always with human sacrifice, always the same images in their historic artwork to show the generations to come what they saw, what they experienced. You see, they were connected, not by human forces. They were connected by the same commander-in-chief from the netherworld, Satan himself and his minions of demons. Interestingly, how hallucinogenic drugs were often part of the worship experience in the occult tribes, which always takes me back to my hits of LSD 25 in my youth without Christ. Three Dog Night saying, Mama told me not come, but I didn't listen to Mama. I did not listen to them. I went to the party. I went into the world of hallucinogenic drugs, and guess what I saw? You got it. I saw into the netherworld a bit, and a little bit was plenty, and it was horrifying. We called it paranoia. Sad thing was, when you were experiencing that, for me, and you say, man, I learned my lesson. I'll never do those drugs again. But without Christ, I had no resistance, and I went back, unfortunately, over and over again, each time getting a little bit more comfortable with the evil, getting more blinded by the darkness, more familiar with the occult activity. I saw the very same things the occult artwork depicted all those thousands of years before. But in those days, I hadn't been to the museums. I didn't see the art. But years later, in Christ, married to an artist, going to these museums, it's like, holy cow, it's all the same thing. Satan just wants you to be ignorant of himself, and especially ignorant of Jesus, who soon will be conquering him. The Bible says Satan blinds the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He wants people to believe that he's not even real. That's good for him. Or he wants people to know him well and serve him fervently. He rules the unholy netherworld, and he knows his time is running out. He's familiar with the prophetic scriptures. He knows the Jews have returned home in 1948. He knows he came close to completely wiping them out in the Holocaust, but he failed. He is relentless in his agenda of anti-Semitism, the hatred of the Jews all across the world, as we see on our daily news this week. What is believed in the netherworld always rears its ugly head in the visible world. I'm going to say that again. What is believed in the netherworld always rears its ugly head in the visible world that we live in. Someone is behind everything. There just ain't no coinkydinks happening in the news. I want to close out this podcast on a strong, happy peek behind the curtain. Sometimes I just feel like Dookie Down, and I apologize to you, but hey, we're in a battle. We're in a war. We need to know who the enemy is. We need to know. We can't be ignorant of his devices lest he gain advantage over us. So we've been warned. So here's some good news. Psalm 91:11, for God will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all your ways. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who are heirs of salvation? I think there was some angelic activity protecting me from the evil one back in my dark days. I could have died so easily driving 120 miles an hour and bald tires, no shock absorbers, huge engine and cars falling apart, but I didn't die. I think I might have wore out half a dozen angels back in those days. Matthew 18:10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. You see, guardian angels are for real. In Numbers 22, disobedient prophet Balaam had a donkey that could see into the netherworld. He saw the angel when Balaam could not. At first, he couldn't. Then the angel did become visible to him to stop Balaam from his hobnobbing with the enemies of Israel. There are many more biblical peaks into the spirit world, but how does all this apply to me? As a follower of Jesus, it's a spiritual blanket of comfort on the happy side. It's a spiritual realm of warning if we take our eyes off of the Lord, and for those who do choose not to follow Christ, a wake-up call for those who reject Jesus. It's a God versus Satan battle going on that we basically cannot see, but we can see it manifest itself in a thousand ways. That's the importance of knowing biblical prophecy. Jesus said, behold, I tell you before. Why? So that when you see it happen, you'll believe. You'll understand, you'll connect the dots, you'll get it, and it'll comfort you. Remember when little Toto the dog pulled back the curtain in the scary throne room of Oz, and the great Oz, desperately said, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Satan doesn't want you to have a biblical understanding of him. He wants you to think that he's omnipotent. He isn't. To think that he's all-knowing, he's not. To think that he's omnipresent, he's not. His agenda of a new world order of his Antichrist was all exposed long ago by God's prophets. People are watching his agenda of a global, cashless, tyrannical government, government developing all around them, and for the most part, they're clueless. They mock those of us who blow the whistle on him. He has blinded them, and dreams of the day they will join him in hell. Christian, be awake. Christian, live in the scriptures. Fill your mind with the word of God. Hide God's word in your heart that you might not sin against him.
pray for wisdom. Love fervently. Be a pillar and a strong Bible-centered church. Pray for your pastors and elders. Live exemplary lives. Show the power of the gospel by a spirit-controlled temper. You say, well, I can't. Well, of course you can't, but he can. That's why he came, to live in you, to take the place of what you are, to give his strength for your weakness, his wisdom for your folly, his plenty for your poverty. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Through Christ, overcome your sinful patterns. Through Christ, live above the evil fray all around us. Don't stand around the drinking fountain of work and join in the gossip of other people. Live above it. Not that we're better than people, but we're stronger than others with Christ in us. Long for his coming. The Bible says there's a crown for those who love his coming. Don't be afraid to talk about it. It's time. It's time to be awake. Give him glory day to day. Live in the spirit of praise. Live in the shadow of the cross. Learn who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Gird up the loins of your mind and stand, and having done all, to stand. Don't compromise and bow to this world's values, and you will be a terror to Satan and his demons. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Submit yourself, therefore, to God, and Satan will be forced to leave you alone. Let your light shine before others. They will glorify God in the day of visitation. God says, I want to visit those that watch you live. I'm going to visit your family members who are lost. And if they've seen something genuine in you, they're going to know that God is real by the way we live. What a calling. What a responsibility. Oh, Lord, help us. Let's praise our way through these dark days. Let's sing and let's live onward, Christian soldiers. I have one little sweet thing to share with you in closing. I'll never forget my great-grandma Mosier's final words as she had woke up from a coma she'd been in for several days. She was dying. She sat up and said with a huge smile on her aged face, they're coming, they're coming. Her daughter, my Aunt Ilo, said, there's no one, Mother. Just settle down. And Grandma Mosier said, oh, yes, there is. The angels are coming, silly, unquote. She laid back down, died. Her last breath on earth was followed by her first breath in heaven. Man, I think that story fits perfect into our peek behind the curtain. He's given angels charge over us. He told us the end from the beginning. And we're watching the end now. It's all coming together. And so good to know the scriptures, isn't it? So we understand what's going on and what to do. I want to thank you for being part of my listening audience. And I'd ask you if you would help me. It means an awful lot if you would like, send a comment. You could contact me directly, pastorduke@gmail.com. Send me some thoughts. Give me some topics you'd like me to tackle in podcasting. Be glad to do that. It's a real joy to watch the numbers grow, and you can subscribe, become a follower, and that make me really happy. I just long to be fruitful in this final part of my journey. I'm going to be turning 70 years old. Who'd have thunk it, man? I still feel like I'm 18 till I look in the mirror and I see my dad staring back at me. But anyway, good to be on the winning team. Love you. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time. Bye-bye for now.